1984 is, I believe, a quite terrifying masterpiece. So terrifying, in fact, I don't think I should like to read another like it.
I'm not absolutely dissatisfied with it. I think it is a good idea, but the execution would have been better if I had not been under the influence of TB when I wrote it.
You once claimed that you have an ability to face unpleasant facts. Is that what you've demonstrated in 1984 by drawing an accurate portrait of the future?
I think that allowing for the book being, after all, a parody, something like 1984 could actually happen. This is the direction the world is going in at the present time. In our world, there will be no emotions except fear, rage, triumph, and self-abasement. The sex instinct will be eradicated. We shall abolish the orgasm. There will be no loyalty except loyalty to the party. But always, there will be the intoxication of power. Always, at every moment, there will be the thrill of victory, the sensation of trampling on an enemy who is helpless. If you want a picture of the future, imagine a boot stamping on a human face forever. The moral to be drawn from this dangerous nightmare situation is a simple one. Don't let it happen. It depends on you.
This is the Real BS Show coming at you. Was that George Orwell?
That's correct.
That was the real guy talking?
Real guy. His final warning to all of us.
Yeah, it's, I don't know, scary. Not scary, yeah scary.
It's but eye-opening, that's eye-opening, for sure.
Eye-opening, yeah. I'd say so. Who was the other guy that, Eisenhower, wasn't it?
Yeah, he gave us a good warning at the final of his presidency. He was
on his way out.
He was like, heads up, something's coming here that society's not prepared for. And remember, when he's saying this, he was a 4-star general, or 5-star general.
Well,
right?
He was a president, too.
Yeah, and he was a president, too, later on.
That's the big general.
Yeah.
Well, he was warning that the military is going to take over.
Yeah.
So, you think you can dig up his farewell speech?
Yeah.
Not the whole thing, maybe just the important part.
It's a 16-minute long thing, but we got the 2-minute part.
2-minute part that hits the nail on the head?
Yeah.
All right, well, that should be interesting.
And then we'll come back with some music and just chit-chat.
Yeah, well, a little doomsday scenario here.
Yeah.
And is our voices loud enough?
Yeah.
Or is the music too loud?
No, it's good.
Okay. All right, well, President Dwight D. Eisenhower is going to give us a little serenade on his way out of office. And you should listen to what he says, because it really hits home.
Yeah.
Right about these days. Go, Dwight.
A vital element in keeping the peace is our military establishment. Our arms must be mighty, ready for instant action, so that no potential aggressor may be tempted to risk his own destruction. Our military organization today bears little relation to that known of any of my predecessors in peacetime, or indeed by the fighting men of World War II or Korea. Until the latest of our world conflicts, the United States had no armaments industry. American makers of plowshares could, with time and as required, make swords as well. But we can no longer risk emergency improvisation of national defense. We have been compelled to create a permanent armaments industry of vast proportions. Added to this, 3.5 million men and women are directly engaged in the defense establishment. We annually spend on military security alone more than the net income of all United States corporations. Now, this conjunction of an immense military establishment and a large arms industry is new in the American experience. The total influence, economic, political, even spiritual, is felt in every city, every state house, every office of the federal government. We recognize the imperative need for this development, yet we must not fail to comprehend its grave implications. Our toil, resources, and livelihood are all involved. So is the very structure of our society. In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex. The potential for the disastrous rise of misplaced power exists and will persist. We must never let the weight of this combination endanger our liberties or democratic processes. We should take nothing for granted. Only an alert and knowledgeable citizenry can compel the proper meshing of the huge industrial and military machinery of defense with our peaceful methods and goals, so that security and liberty may prosper together.
Show.
starring Seth and Bill. Right. Bill and Seth.
Bill and Seth, yeah.
Gotta get the B's and the S's right.
No BS.
Okay, what was that guy talking about?
Oh, boy. That's
explain that song, because people probably didn't... I didn't catch it, so...
You know, this is a very fitting song to what the two
follow,
last
follow
warnings...
Ike.
Yeah, Ike, and yeah, that's an old saying. And what Orwell was talking about. You know, the song's about a drifter that's coming through town, and he got beat up because, you know, he was warning them, the town, that... there was different corruption going on, and a preacher that was being corrupt there, and the drifter ended up coming back to town and hanging.
So they hung the preacher.
They hung the drifter hung the preacher and burnt the town for the corruption that was going on there. And
so they kicked him out, and then he came back.
Yeah, he came back because he was warning them that the preacher was stealing from the poor, and. You know, it's not a religious thing or anti-religious thing. You get to
that
think of
it. Like government.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. We got some government corruption going on, and you know, they Orwell and Eisenhower, their messages were not. They may sound different, but they're not far off from what the reality is. They both are kind of talking about the same thing if you step back and look. And I think that was it's just a powerful song that if you give a chance to. Kind of get the feel of it. That's kind of what we're aiming for. We have other music too. We got playing here. You know, we got some.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
We have inflation music.
Oh, we got some inflation.
The largest
music.
Tax hike we've ever had.
Yeah, there we go.
It just happened in the last 6 months or a year. Holy smokes! No new taxes, but 20% inflation. Unbelievable.
Yeah, it's pretty rough.
Thank you, Federal Reserve and government.
Let's play, that was a bluegrass song. Let's play another one. Then we have some other genres that we can play around with. I got another one that kind of fits kind of the same theme.
Yeah, well, you're the music meister here, so.
We used to vacation. That's kind of fitting, right?
Yeah.
So.
All right, do it to us.
All right, sounds good.
I kissed the kids at noon and stumbled out the room. I caught a cab, ran up a tab on 7th and Flower. Best recital I had to run. Missed my son's graduation. Punched the Nichols boy for taking his seat. He gets all that anger from me. Still things could be much worse. Natural disaster on the evening news. Still things could be much worse. We've still got our health. My paycheck in the mail. I promise to my wife and children I'd never touch another drink as long as I live. But even then it sounds so soothing. This will blow over in time. This will all blow over in time.
show on a hot, boiling Thursday afternoon.
That's true. It is.
We're supposed to have a storm, storm coming
big
here.
Big storm. A lot of
hope the tornado that comes through doesn't hit my wood piles.
Yeah, we don't want the
Firewood all over the county. Be raining firewood.
It'll be called chucked firewood, right?
Boy. Yeah, it'd be my luck. Ooh.
It's just, kind of symbolic, kind of what's happening. The heat's kind of rising around the world in interesting ways, a lot of inflation and gas prices going up, food prices going up, it's kind of, you're hearing the common person talk about it more frequently. When before, we just were the tinfoil hats talking about it, there's only a few of us out there.
Everybody buys gas and everybody buys food, so.
Right.
It's starting to hit home now.
Yeah.
Hit home.
The hens are coming to the roost.
Yeah, you can't even get an ice cream cone for less than $3 now. I have to get the baby cone.
Right. What happens when your Coca-Cola goes up, Bill?
It already has.
Oh,
yeah.
Dear.
I should have loaded up. I should have bought a truckload and parked it out back. Oh, well, hey. I have to drink water, I guess.
Right.
Brother.
Jeez. But now we're just trying to, we'll switch it up a little
bit. I'm glad I make my own electricity, Yeah. I don't, the power goes out, I don't have to worry about it because I still got power. It's a weird feeling to see everybody else out and I'm still going.
Yeah, that's an unnerving feeling, yeah.
Yeah, it's weird. It is weird, but then, that's every day for me.
Right.
Well, I guess nothing's changed. It's same old, same old.
Right.
So... I don't know. That's crazy, crazy. It's like nothing makes any sense anymore. You look at the stock market, and I've been following these things really close, and it just makes no sense whatsoever.
And Bitcoin's dropped.
I see Bitcoin's really sank quite a bit. 40% or from its high, I don't know, its high was 60-some thousand. It's down around 20,000
now. Yeah, that's a lot of money lost.
Yeah. Well, it's lost if you sell it.
Right.
Just hang on to it; it might go back up.
The people that bought it at 60,000 are probably kicking their pants right now.
Yeah, they're saying, "Oh no!" I mean, they just got to sit and wait.
Right. It'll go back up again, I'm sure. But this is one of those things where the Bitcoin, in my opinion, needs to become more of a currency. What it was originally supposed to be, purchase things with it, and it's starting to become more prevalent for purchasing things. But when people just treat it as another stock or
another money making operation,
then I don't like that as much. I'll be honest with you, I'd rather have another currency instead of just the U.S. dollar.
What I like is the blockchain. That's amazing how that works, and government can't really shut it down unless they turn off the electricity all around the world.
This is one of the ones I personally enjoy is Monero. That's one that's a little bit more privacy friendly, and Monero is in my view a lot better than Bitcoin in how it handles transactions. But that's
I've been out of that for so long. I was in Bitcoin when it first started up,
right?
And I was $300-$400 a Bitcoin. And then it shot up to $7,000, and I said, "Okay, I'm out of here."
That's right. Time to get out.
I sold, and I got out, and and it kept going to 60-some thousand, and I don't know. It was a lot of work to mine it, So I just said, "Okay, enough's enough."
Well, on the note of hopefully the economy recovers and we can play a song from Greta Van Fleet. They're an amazing band, in my opinion. Stardust Chords.
Yeah, I never met the guys, so I don't know. Yeah. I have no idea.
Their music is really hopping. It kind of reminds me of like Led Zeppelin and like Rush. There's a lot of different. They have a vibe to them that's really amazing to me.
I'll have to take your word for it.
We played them last show too. For the previous episode of the BS show, the real BS show. But this song is a different one. I find their music. Sometimes we'll have to just play all their songs on one show. They have a boatload of hits. And they're all recent band in the last 5 years. Never heard of them before.
You're allowed to do anything you want.
I know.
You know that?
but this
you're
is
the boss here. You're the boss.
But this is something. It's a fun band. The music is refreshing. It kind of reminds me of the late '60s and '70s.
I'm a Perry Como fan myself.
There you go.
Dinah Shore liked him too.
There you go. This is Stardust Quartz.
That's telling my age big time there.
Ooh-wee. Perry Como.
Yeah, he had Moon River.
Yeah, I know that one. Yeah.
I think Dinah Shore kind of hung out with Burt Reynolds for a while.
Yeah. Burt Reynolds, the guy.
Is he still alive?
Yeah, Burt Reynolds is still alive.
Huh. Dinah Shore? Probably not.
I'm not sure. Dinah Shore? Maybe.
Yeah. I don't know. Man, if she's alive, she's going to be old.
Yeah.
She probably looks worse than I do.
Yeah. She's not old as Betty White, man. Betty White passed away.
Well, she did conk out, yeah. 100 years old or almost 100.
Did you know that Betty White and the Queen are the same age? Or were? The Queen's still alive. But
Queen's still going?
Queen of the United Kingdom, yeah, she's still going. She's, and Canada and Australia.
Yeah.
And she's the queen of many places.
Well, she,
not
she
the United
gets
States.
Better food and stuff, Yeah. Better medical care than the rest of us.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's crazy, crazy, crazy. I guess none of us are getting out alive, so I don't know.
No,
all of us. Listen to George Orwell. Just don't do it. Quit your fighting.
Yeah.
Ooh. All right, well, play, who's that, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde?
Greta Van Fleet.
Oh, Greta.
And the song is Stardust Chords.
Stardust Chords.
Yeah.
Sounds exciting. Okay, take it away, Seth.
Oh,
This is the Real BS Show. What else is? What else are we doing today?
Oh yeah, we're coming at you.
Not you see
live.
The gas prices lately?
Yeah, I seen the gas prices.
Well, they went up and then they went down 10 cents.
Yeah,
they're trying to quiet everybody down. You know.
Oh, we'll raise it 10.
It's up to 5.09. Now it's back down to 4.99. So now everybody. Ooh. I'm going to save. Let's see. I fill my tank. I save 50 cents.
I still think where it's going to raise to $6.
Yeah, I see California is like $7-$8 now.
Yeah. Ooh, in this region, we're going to see it go up, I'm sure. We have actually the highest gas tax, state tax, in the nation. We're higher than California, if that makes any sense.
Well, you can thank Butt Cakes Wolf for that. You know, the first thing he did when he took office, 20 cents, boom.
You know,
he might have done it again since then. But
you know, the thing is with us being the highest gas tax, you would think that they would, you know, other states are doing it. They're cutting the gas tax, the state gas tax, usage tax, for people to help them out economically. But our state didn't do that. They're like, suck it up.
Yeah. They should fire up Colonel Drake's oil well down here in Titusville.
Yeah, yeah.
That baby just sitting there doing nothing.
Yeah.
You know, they should start pumping oil out of the ground. And
you know, not too
start
far.
Start our own little refinery right here in Northwest Pennsylvania.
We do have a refinery. It's in Warren, Pennsylvania, and it's not too far. But you know, did you know that in this town, not too many blocks away from where we're right now, they drilled a water well. They're trying to get water, and they accidentally hit oil, and so they were using that well pump to oil their wagon wheels back in the day. And that, you know where that is? What's where the library is now? There was a
Union City?
Yeah, right here in Union City, yeah. Oh. We had oil all over, still do.
Well, that's how Colonel Drake knew where to drill, because the oil was coming up out of the ground and going in a creek.
Yeah, seeping right up.
Oil Creek.
Oil Creek, yeah.
That's why they called it Oil Creek, because it was full of oil.
Yeah.
So, you know, that was a big deal that he drilled a hole in the ground, but he probably only went 2 or 3 feet and had oil.
Yeah. It's, and you know, some say that it's all sapped, you know, it's all been drilled up. But Oil Creek, the Oil Creek area, and then like Titusville Creek, and all these other creeks out there.
Rouseville, and down to even Oil City. I mean, there's a lot of wells. There's some of them that still run every once in a while.
Oh, yeah. Still up here, there's a lot. And, you know, I think, you know, what we were talking about last time in the last show, where many gas companies and oil companies are hesitant about drilling because they opened up these new areas and then the government in a year or so will cut back on them being able to drill for economic ecological reasons, and so companies are hesitant right now.
Yeah, would you sink $1 billion or maybe $2 billion dollars into making an oil well, drilling an oil well?
Yeah,
you know that with Biden at the helm.
Yeah,
you know, he said, "Okay, here's your lease." And next week, he said, "Oh, never mind."
And the other part is we're not building new refineries. That's a major issue, and many oil companies are choosing not to build because of the, you know.
I would not, with Biden in charge. I wouldn't. The Democrats are just nutty. So I mean, I wouldn't invest anything in. I'd stick my neck out. It's a gamble, you know. I mean, you could drill a hole and not find anything.
Right. It's a major risk. You know?
Yeah. I mean,
and you got Canada, you have Trudeau up there that's putting a kibosh on many oil drillings. And
he's
it's
just
like,
as nutty as Biden is.
Yeah, it's, and you think about it. Many,
they're all communists myself.
I think they are authoritarian that think that they can just dictate how people should live.
Oh, and, yeah, they know everything.
And
they know,
yeah, they consider know themselves experts, you know, and I think that's one of the major issues is we need to just let people be people and let them live as long as they're not harming other people.
Let the free market do its thing.
Exactly. And I think this is what Stossel here is going to talk about, you know, how the free market's not being allowed to be a free market. And so we can just kind of...
Well, I guess the other side of it is we're destroying the earth.
Yeah.
Supposedly.
Yeah.
I think the sun will take care of that. You know.
Yeah, in a billion years.
And there's supposed to be some big blasts here. Maybe it's in the last couple of days, I think.
Yeah.
A couple, whatever you call those, a corona.
Corona ejections.
Burst. Yeah. So, I don't know, but I know it's hot out today.
Yeah, yeah.
A big storm coming, so.
We're going to go check on that in a short bit here.
Yeah, right. We'll go out there and see if it's...
We'll give you a weather report.
I just saw the lights flash. Maybe it is here.
Yeah, we'll give a weather report when we come back.
Yeah, right. Yeah, okay. Well, let's listen. Who? Stossel.
Stossel,
okay.
Yeah.
I've never heard this, so we'll listen.
Record-breaking prices at the pump.
People are stunned by today's gas prices.
Oh, my God.
Why did gas get so expensive?
The reason for that is because of Putin's war.
The trouble with blaming Putin's war is that most of the price rise came before Ukraine was attacked. So some politicians blame price gouging and corporate greed.
Rising gas prices smacks of price gouging.
Excess profit.
Well, they just raise the price to make more money.
Well, if big oil could raise prices anytime they wanted and get away with it, then why were they so cheap in 2020, 2019, 2018?
Ben Lieberman of the Competitive Enterprise Institute rightly points out that companies are always greedy. The greed didn't just start now. Prices change because of supply and demand. During COVID, with fewer people driving, the price of oil dropped. So oil drillers did less drilling. Now people are driving again, but it takes time for the producers to adjust.
The truth is, it takes months, not days, for companies to increase production.
The president gets that, but he ignores how his policies reduce production. He just canceled a long-planned sale of offshore oil rights. Before that, Biden stopped drilling in the Arctic.
No more drilling on federal lands, period, 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 period.
Why stop drilling?
I'm refusing to sell out the Arctic National Wildlife Reserve to oil and gas drillers.
But drilling has long been done without selling out nature. It leaves only a tiny footprint on massive land areas.
We typically put multiple wells on a single pad, reaching in different directions deep underground to minimize disturbance to the surface.
Drilling in Anwar would have used less than 0.1% of the land. The real reason Biden cracked down on drilling is because his supporters want less oil produced, claiming that'll slow climate change. Now activists want Biden to kill what they call the Black Snake Pipeline, which would bring oil from Canada to Wisconsin. They've already delayed it 5 years. They delayed the Keystone Pipeline 16 years until Biden killed it altogether. Since Keystone alone cost pipeline companies $15 billion, who would ever try it again?
But it sends a strong signal that others shouldn't even bother because they'll run up against a buzzsaw.
It's so counterproductive. Killing pipelines doesn't even help the environment. Oil still gets shipped, but by more polluting methods. Trucks, trains, barges, all of which increase the risk of spills.
9,000 gallons of fuel ended up on the highway after this tanker truck crashed.
One final example of our stupid energy politics. Last fall, this grandstanding California congressman scolded oil executives.
Are you embarrassed as an American company that your production is going up?
They produce too much oil, he said.
Would you commit to reducing production of oil?
We're committing to lowering our emissions.
No, are you committed to lowering the production?
We're going
to
lower emissions, which is the source.
Okay, I'll take that as a no.
Absurdly, now that gas prices are up, the congressman goes on TV to say they should produce more oil.
And they're still not increasing the productions.
We asked Khanna for an interview. He declined.
They aren't increasing production.
It's amazing what $4 a gallon gasoline in an election year will do to cause some people to change their minds.
Still, the protesters aren't totally crazy. We have to protect the earth, and sometimes the market isn't the best director.
There is pollution, and there is a reason to want to address it at times, but we have to be realistic about the fact that these threats are repeatedly exaggerated.
In the public debate, you're losing. They're winning.
At $4 a gallon gasoline, I think we're seeing a rethinking of the climate agenda.
Too many families are struggling to keep up with their bills.
Biden shifted focus at his State of the Union.
I get it. That's why my top priority is getting prices under control.
They're having to respond because gasoline prices are very unpopular and it's an election year. But in truth, they want to force people away from fossil fuels. It's a very painful process, but that's what they really want.
Climate change poses an existential threat to our lives.
The Biden administration either has to choose between affordable energy or the climate agenda. It can't do both.
It's the Real BS Show. Speaking of BS, Joe Biden's going to fix the prices.
Right.
He's going to bring everything down so we can afford to live.
Right.
Supposedly. Do you ever hear such nonsense from an idiot?
Yeah. I do agree with Stossel on that, you can't do both. It's very difficult to basically use the climate change agenda to remove us off fossil fuels and keep it from being painful. That is impossible to not have it
be. You see
painful.
All these idiots that went to the World Economic Forum in Davos?
Yeah.
All those big jets?
Yeah. Yeah.
One big giant jet to bring, who's that? Jim Carrey.
Kimmel?
No, Carrey, the climate guy.
Yeah.
He ran for president way back.
Yeah.
Against Bush, I think.
Yeah.
John Kerry. Yeah. Yeah. He married Hines's wife.
Yeah.
Senator Hines. Oh, I don't know. They're a bunch of blowhards. And what does Kerry know about the environment?
I would say that
he's such a... It's so ridiculous. Senators, I mean, they don't know what they're talking about.
We would definitely need to have a lot more lithium mines and everything you can imagine, minerals, to be dug out of the ground. And closing the pipelines, I do agree with that. You close the pipelines, you end up having a problem. You still have to ship the oil. It's not going to die. Just because you get rid of fossil fuels and vehicle usage, you're still using fossil fuels for other things. So
they're just up in their 90. All right, Seth, let's, before I throw up, let's do something else.
magazine article a long time ago, when I was 12 years old maybe, in, I think it was Scientific American, I'm not sure. And the article proposed to measure the efficiency of locomotion for lots of species on planet Earth to see which species was the most efficient at getting from point A to point B. And they measured the kilocalories that each one expended. So they ranked them all. And I remember that the condor won. The condor was the most efficient at getting from point A to point B. And humankind, the crown of creation, came in with a rather unimpressive showing about a third of the way down the list. So that didn't look so great. But let me do this over again because I'm just trying to say this better. I remember reading an article when I was about 12 years old, I think it might have been Scientific American, where they measured the efficiency of locomotion for all these species on planet Earth. How many kilocalories did they expend to get from point A to point B? And the condor one came in at the top of the list, surpassed everything else. And humans came in about a third of the way down the list, which was not such a great showing for the crown of creation. And but somebody there had the imagination to test the efficiency of a human riding a bicycle. Human riding a bicycle blew away the condor, all the way off the top of the list. And it made a really big impression on me that we humans are tool builders and that we can fashion tools that amplify these inherent abilities that we have to spectacular magnitudes. And so for me, a computer has always been a bicycle of the mind, something that takes us far beyond our inherent abilities. Kilobytes of memory, which today doesn't seem like much, but at that time was maybe three times as much as its competitors. And that's why VisiCalc was written for the Apple II. That was the only computer that could hold it. If VisiCalc had been written for some other computer, you'd be interviewing somebody else right now.
The real BS show. We got to say goodbye.
Yeah.
Or good night. Or good afternoon.
It's time to get
going.
Just
had a big storm out there.
Yeah.
Ooh-wee.
It was raining.
And the temperature dropped 20 degrees.
Yeah.
Wow, that's great.
It felt great. The humidity was dropped. The temperature was dropped. Everything was dropped. And it just was nice and comfortable to be outside.
Yeah. Well, it's time to say good night. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
And you got another tune you can play?
Oh, yeah.
On the way out the door?
Yeah. Some Chris Cornell.
All right. Chris Cornell.
Yeah.
Sounds like he's a dead guy.
Yeah, he is dead.
Is he?
Yeah.
Wow. I guess he won't mind. All right. See you next week.
See ya.
It's been 7 hours and 15 days since you took your love away. I go out all night and sleep all day since you took your love away. Since you've been gone, I can do whatever I want. I can see whoever. nothing compared to you. It's been so lonely without you here, like a bird without a song. Nothing can stop these lonely tears from falling. Tell me, where did I go wrong? I could put my arms around any girl I choose, but it just reminds me. Backyard all died when you were